culture of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and they'll, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can be followed along all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. You can follow our Twitter, little ding-a-ma-jig, at Pop Culture PD, which you can see us live right now if you are on there, or if not listening to us on the podcast, which we appreciate any 5-star reviews. And if you do follow us on Pop Culture PD, we'll instantly make you more streamlined. Go for it. With me, as always, is my tag team partner in the podcast sphere, the bad boy of Twitter, the man who I still to this day don't really know what your Twitter handle is. There's so many options out there. But you can also subscribe to his OnlyFans for a limited time only. We're down to the final 2 months of the bottomless camera because they're taking away the sexual content for OnlyFans, a.k.a. OnlyFans will be getting deleted before you know it. I don't know why this is happening in the world. Is this cancel culture? I don't know. But his Twitter handle, I believe, is BillyD24, the word 11. That's across all social media platforms. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. Yeah, it's not across all social media platforms, just Twitter. Everywhere else, I'm still BillyD2411. So, good to be back here in the good old Massachusetts. I was in New Jersey, the armpit of America, for a little bit. But
Worcester? Wait, you were in Worcester?
Jersey.
Oh, Jersey. I thought you said armpit of America. I thought we were talking about Worcester, Massachusetts.
That's the armpit of Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. It's actually gotten really nice. I shouldn't say such.
No.
The last time I went there, it's polished, man. They polished up. Yeah, you check it out for yourself. But good to have you back here, Billy. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, iHeartRadio, all podcast apps that have podcasts that you care or like. You could also watch us, listen to us over on the 110% free YouTube. Like and subscribe over there. You can just search Pop Culture Pile Driver if you're not there now. Also check us out as a part of the Dorkshire Gooniverse on Facebook. It's facebook.com/dorkshiredgooniverse. You can check out the merch over at tpublic.com. You just look for the user Pop Culture Pile Driver. Good luck finding it. And the music comes to us from Oh Yeah. So what's happening? Yeah. What's happening in the world of Oh Yeah?
I think they got some new stuff dropping. They've been playing a lot of shows, at least Rye has with his band. Almost met up with them in New York. Timing didn't work out. But I actually had a good time in New York for once this time around. We went out one night.
Did you not have a good time in New York in the past?
I don't love New York.
It's okay. But New York loves you, Bill. Yeah. The podcast nonprofit is Frank Says Hi. Please do check out franksayshi.com, raising funds for those affected by cancer, from students going to college to giving direct funds to cancer patients at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute for unique experiential events. We're going to be doing a nice donation there post-Jimmy Fund Telethon, which is happening currently with Nesson and WEEI. But Bill, today, it's been a long time. It has been far too long.
Mm-hmm.
I've been simming like the Sims are going away. I'm collecting money like as if that money's no longer going to be in my bank account. It's wild. But
you're just going to have the same amount of money that keeps getting smaller until you die, unless you find a new Sim to do.
It's 100% accurate. It is so true. But today we're actually reviewing a movie that came out a few weeks ago. We were going to line up with the DSG. Could have punted on the topic, but I think there's meat on the bone. It's not necessarily our norm to be reviewing new movies or really comic book things. That's not really us, but one of the stars of this movie is John Cena. And first of all, we're going to get into him. We're going to get into a lot of stuff wrestling related and part of this podcast, but The Suicide Squad, Bill, was released earlier this month on August 6th, 2021. And don't get me wrong, we're still playing the game, baby. Bill, what was the price of gas on October 6th, 2021?
I'm going to say it was 293.
A little high there. It was 265 was the average price.
Across America? It ain't here in the Northeast.
No, we're hitting almost at $3 again. And I don't like it. The number one record in the United States on August 6th, Bill, was?
Good for you, Olivia Rodrigo.
It's a solid guess, but unfortunately, it was only the number one record good for you, for 1 week, because there's this band that is a band, boy group, that has been undeniable since June through very recently. That is BST Bell, a song called Butter.
Do I know it?
I'm sure we both know it. That's a group that, like, I don't listen to a ton of commercialized radio right now, just podcasting and listen to my own audio forms. But I'm like, BST, do I like these guys? You listen to some of that music? Just jams.
What's that one with Bieber? Stay. I like that song.
Is that with BST?
No, but just it's with Kid LaCroix or whatever the hell his name is.
Well, hold that name. Bill, what was the number one alternative song when this movie was released on October?
Who the fuck makes alternative music anymore? Does anybody even do it? Well,
yes, but your boy Kid LaCroix there was that song Without You, know that can't make a wife without a hoe. No.
Yeah. That's alternative?
Nowadays, I guess. A better song is Glass Animals' Heat Wave. If you don't know that one, Bill, check it out. That was the number two song. I give that more credit for being alternative. Glass Animals, Slap. Oh, they don't really slap. I dig them. What was the number one movie? No, it was not The Suicide Squad that you normally guess.
Let's see here. The number one movie, Free Guy? I don't know.
It is currently, but a few weeks ago it was Jungle Cruise with The Rock.
Oh, yeah. I've heard mixed reviews. I heard somebody said it was the worst movie ever, and then somebody said it was a cross between like Pirates of the Caribbean and like Star Wars, and it was awesome. Whoa. And I respect both people, so I think I have to see it for myself. I don't know. Maybe.
Was I either one of the people that told you that?
No. Have you seen it?
No, I'm just kidding, because you said you respected those people.
So clearly, I didn't get the joke there. You know, a little slow in the uptake. A lot of 14-hour days recently.
Woo! Billy's a hardworking son of a gun. Bill, nothing has changed since this date. Who is the WWE and Universal Champion?
We got Mr. Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley.
Nailed it, Bill. Nailed it.
Did he beat Goldberg?
He did beat Goldberg.
Oh, good for him.
Technical knockout.
Battle of the Balds. I like it.
Yeah, it was something. We'll get to all that. Ratings for this movie, Google users give it 92% of the like. IMDb has a 7.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes has a 91% critic and 82% audience. Usually that's very rare. Metacritic has it at 74 out of 100.
Whoa, that is smokingly high for Metacritic.
Yeah. Budget for this movie, Bill, was $185 million. Now, this was released to HBO Max as well as in theaters. How much money has this movie made thus far?
$300 million?
$140.8. It's at a loss. Ooh. But I think HBO makes up a lot. I think HBO spent a lot of money with these studios to make up for that.
Is that total? Like, that's just box office or that's...
That's box office. I don't know how else...
They're in the black then, you know.
I think they're making money.
It's not like the Calico Cut Pants website that's, you know, going out of business. He's really swimming in it. But I think they've... Because I think most people probably watched it at home with, you know, the Delta Plus or whatever the fuck it is.
Delta Plus? That's the variant I think you're talking about.
Yeah, right?
Oh, you mean staying home. I thought you meant you were joking about HBO Max. I thought that you were calling it the Delta Plus.
No. With the Delta
Plus. Is that a new subscription? Did you just come up with a new subscription service?
Hey, get all your streaming content during fucking coronavirus on Delta Plus. Arrival at Disney Plus.
Honestly, if you created that right now, the Google searches and your clicks would be amazing.
So I tried to play the game. They do it on a local radio show. Shout out to the hashtag Dork Podcast, Gresham Keefe. It's kind of like finish the search engine.
Oh, yeah.
And everything I typed in today was just basically like dot, 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 coronavirus. Like even like Dwayne Wade, coronavirus. Like, it didn't matter what you typed in. The next thing was coronavirus.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But yes, we're going to get on that variant soon. Hopefully not the variant, but a variant. There was something else I was going to ask you, but I think we can just get into this, pup. I think we're ready here, Bill. First, we always start off our movie reviews with the curtain jerker. Did you like The Suicide Squad?
I kind of loved it.
Kind of.
So kind of loved it.
Is that a yes to that question then?
Oh, absolutely. It's a full force slap the table. Yes, but from underneath. But I don't know, like, if it's an all-time comic book movie. I think I'd have to rewatch it again, and I still need that login because it doesn't work. But
where did you see that? How did you see this movie?
I saw it in theaters, and I gotta tell you, it was a delight.
Bill, we have not spoken.
I know, in a while,
2.5 weeks.
Yeah,
since I want to say the third Friday or like two Fridays ago, like a long, long time ago when this movie was coming out. I think it was the last time we spoke.
Yeah, because we were going to do it then and, you know, life happened. But
man, I hate life.
Yeah.
But I love it.
I got to tell you, theaters by yourself, I may go see Free Guy on Friday all by myself, unless you want to join, unless you already seen it. But I'll tell you what, a theater by myself, such an enjoyable experience. The surround sound I went and started in whatever the hell the Dolby Digital thing is. I got to tell you, I would have liked it at home a lot because it was a good movie. But the theater experience, I think, kicked it up another notch. Bam.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Two things I think are underrated. People don't do enough alone. Not what you're thinking. One, movies. Because half the time, unless you're going with like someone you're going to be talking, like when I go with my wife, I'm talking the whole time. I'm talking all the time. I'm a very unenjoyable movie experience at times. Except horror movies. I'm very quiet during horror movies. But movies, great to go by yourself. It's kind of a experience on its own anyways.
Oh, love it.
And I always say sitting at a bar.
I have done it during work trips where I'm kind of on my own.
Yeah, like what you just came off of, if you weren't recording today, and let's just say you were hungry on your ride home instead of doing the Uber Eats or whatever delicious num-nums you would have eaten, which will tie into this podcast. I used to love, like when I had those nights when I used to do like events and be out late, like just driving back, going to whatever bar was open, like restaurant bar, sitting at the bar, literally just sometimes you chit-chat a little bit with the bartender, maybe somebody else at the bar, but like you're just kind of alone and you're kind of like, unless you want the more interaction, but I think there's something very nice and calming about like having a quick meal, a drink if you're into it, just by yourself.
Oh yeah.
And it's just so chill. I think it's like one of those things I miss the most since all of COVID started because I haven't been traveling into offices or had the need to go by myself.
I'll add one more to that little list there.
Please.
Concerts. So I went to a concert by myself because before Childish Gambino hit it big, I bought two tickets. He was community. I was like, Donald Glover, I'll just go see him. I heard the album right before I went. Camp, one of my favorite albums of all time, Hyperbilly, but it is good. And I couldn't get anyone to go with me. No one would go with me. They're like, we don't know who he is. We're not going to go. It was the Bank of America.
The best venue in Boston.
He had like a full concert choir, and I was by myself in a section with a bunch of people, and I could just sing. I didn't have to talk to anybody, and I just bopped out the whole time. It was great.
That is a good point because during my days of like getting concert tickets like every single day, I probably went to about 40 concerts on my own. Like I was with like a promoter or something, but I really wasn't with them. And there is something about like losing yourself in a moment where you're not worried about your friend judging you. Like you don't give a crap what strangers think. Like buying into something like that is the best. Like when you're just at a show or watching a sporting event, wrestling, any like movies, when you're just like so bought into what you're watching. Oh, that is a top 10 fail. So yeah, concerts.
Lose yourself in the music the moment. You own it.
That's it. Mom's spaghetti. For me, I liked it a lot, Bill. I liked it a lot. It was a movie I felt like the whole time I'm like, am I going to like this movie because it's going to be good? Or am I going to feel myself falling for this movie because it's going to be bad? Because that's what plays in my mind a lot. Like I'm like, I was rooting for this movie. Because I remember the first Suicide Squad.
Meh.
And it was the beginning of like this weird Will Smith downfall a little bit where he's made like a bunch of crappy movies. And if you look at his IMDb or whatever since, it's trash.
Well, he made Hancock too a while ago.
Yeah, but Hancock was like meant to be really stupid. But
yeah.
But it was a big budget. I know what you're saying. But like look
it did a little bit for the comic book genre, if you will, because it was kind of like a, you know, a dickhead superhero.
Yeah, he was like an anti-hero when there wasn't a ton of those at the time. But this movie, I just kept finding myself intrigued by it. Everything about it, we'll get into all the details probably towards the end of this, but I just was really much like visually impressed. The storyline kept me going. The visuals of like the way they did like almost like it was like five chapters, I believe, this movie. And the way they like set up things or like 15 minutes ago, like being a part of the atmosphere. I really, really liked a lot of what I saw. Next up, Bill, will be casting. What did you think of the casting?
I don't think it could have been much better. I mean, I think they hit on every single person. And our guy there, Idris Elba.
Awesome.
He's probably Margot Robbie's pretty fucking huge too. Let's not kid around. But Idris Elba for at least the male roles, as big as you can kind of get right now, right? I thought he might have been the most miscast, but he's still really good. I thought everybody else was phenomenal. Whoever they got to play Weasel was really good. No, but like everyone did their job and I think they were all put in really good positions. Nobody was kind of like punching above their weight class. John Cena, I thought, you know, I heard something about like Batista, but he wasn't available because he chose to do the fucking vampire heist movie instead. And I think that would have been a mistake because this is the, you know, not necessarily Guardians of the Galaxy of the DCEU, but it is a little bit, especially the way they did it. And I thought John Cena. Yeah.
Like James Gunn doing it. Like, they knew what they were doing here. Good for James Gunn, by the way. Like, shout out to James Gunn for.
Oh, genius. Absolute genius.
Stepping, like, all the issues that were going on with the MCU with him and stuff, and just being like, all right, well. And they're like, hey, come on home. Because I think he did a DC movie originally. I can't remember now, but, like, I remember there's something. So it's like, hey, come on home, bud. We got you. You can throw all the wisecracks, all the sexual innuendos, all the. There's a lot of jizz talk in this movie.
Like, Cumshot?
Yes, yes, Bill. Like, I told you not to do this.
Like Kumcha? I'm not trying to make sure anybody has the worst day at their job.
I asked you not to do this. You're done. That guy at the end also very underrated in that skit. You're done.
Oh, the background players are phenomenal. And Matt pointed out a while ago when the other lady asks a question and doesn't swear, he's just like, oh, fuck, what the fuck?
Yeah, I have so many theories about that skit, but that's a story for another time. Yeah, I mostly agree with you with the casting. Idris Elba's amazing. I love how he's Bloodsport. I don't know enough about DC. I don't know enough about all these superheroes, to be honest. But you have Will Smith, Deadshot. Bloodsport, Deadshot. Too similar for me. Also, the report came out that, you know, Will Smith, that he basically replaced Will Smith when Will Smith said, ain't doing this one. Then obviously you said Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, which this was interesting. I loved her in this film. I loved the casting of her because obviously she is now synonymous with Harley Quinn. Third movie, she's played Harley Quinn, Suicide Squad, Birds of Prey, and now obviously the Suicide Squad. Big difference. But I just really liked her in this movie because she didn't do what I felt she did in the first movie where it was almost like we're forcing her to be the star. I feel like she was the perfect, like she has star qualities, abilities, but at the end of the day, she was really like a B player.
And she didn't steal it. Yeah, she didn't have to steal any scenes because they weren't really, a lot of them weren't built around her, except maybe one, which I think might be the most stunning scene in.
Oh my God. Are you talking about
maybe? What?
The butterfly shots. Side plot story. That's like the part that shined for her, like where she like never will trust love again, obviously ties to the Joker situation. Like amazing. I thought that was, you're right. That was a stunning, ridiculous cinematography, ridiculous like action. The filming of it was amazing. Really, really good scene with I forget the gentleman's name, and then she kills him.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. And then Ratcatcher. I mean, I don't think you could get a more, it's tough in these kind of movies, especially since this wasn't as heartwarming as, let's say, Guardians of the Galaxy was, to kind of connect with your main characters.
Ratcatcher 2, I believe.
Ratcatcher 2, of course. I mean, what am I doing here? But yes, I thought she did a phenomenal job. And honestly, casting, what's his name there? The guy we all love, Taika Waititi, as the Ratcatcher. That sets up prequel, whatever you want. She was phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's am I saying this right? I think it's Daniela Minquire or something like that. Either way, I'm not saying that right.
We'll call her Ratcatcher too. She was great. Casting was perfect.
She was, she was the heart of the movie, Bill. She was the reason you had the love, because you had guys like Idris Elba's Bloodshot, who was kind of a jerk. The scene with him and his daughter was almost intensely uncomfortable.
That's I'll nitpick real quick here.
Yeah.
Have her steal something other than a watch or, like, beat a girl up half to death. Like, the fact – and I know that woman's a psychopath, like, the fucking director there.
Yeah.
And she was going to put her on trial as an adult. That was my only thing. Like, with wrestling, stroke of the pen, make it a little more serious of a crime. Like, he's going to go – Bloodsport is going to go nuts either way. But, like, make me a little bit more believable. Like, nobody's going to jail for a watch. I'm sorry.
I agree with you there. Yeah, Viola Davis is Amanda Walker, who had a great scene. Also, I'm over Groot. I'm all in on King Shark now. What's the rest?
You know what? And I need you to watch.
Yeah.
Because you didn't watch Dave, right?
No, I'm done with Dave.
All right. Well, what if I get you a cameo from a guy on Dave that convinces you to watch it? Would you watch it? If he convinced you.
If you don't have to pay somebody to tell me to watch. If you want me to just finish out the damn show, I'll finish out the damn show.
I'm going
to
do it anyway, so I think it would be fun.
No, you need. Bucks. All right. Well, you can this playing better things to spend $40. But if you wanted, this is a good Rossi-less review. If you want to do Dave, but what is the tie in here? Why does this relate to this?
The moment I forget now. It was gonna relate, but then I just lost my train of thought here.
You were talking about raising the stakes. I was talking about King Shark being better than Groot.
Okay, so I was going to say another show besides Dave that I want you to see is the Harley Quinn animated show.
Yeah, I'm in on that. I will definitely watch that.
So King Shark was introduced to me there, and he's a little different, obviously, because it's animated, and he's very, like, affable, and he's really funny.
He's Brock.
Yeah, and they kind of did the same thing here, but he only said a few words where he talked like a Victorian king at the time. But he was great. They pulled it off great. I think James Gunn knows how to use those characters probably better than anybody in the history of filmmaking. He just does such a great job. Groot was great. Yeah. I don't know why they get Vin Diesel and Sylvester Stallone. Like, I think Goose said, like, he could have done it. Like, you could have done it. I could have done it.
Bill, it's money. Groot makes no sense. It's all money-based, and it's to put the star name on the poster.
But I didn't even know. I didn't even know it was Rocky.
Oh, I did, only because I knew going into the movie. But I will just say this. So we all need those, you know, like when cartoons come out and then you see like, or like Wolverine when he was like doing the action in front of the camera and stuff so you could get the animation. I need Sylvester Stallone just doing nom nom. Like, I need to see his visual, his face. I need to see his body language when he says like, new dumb friends. Like, all that stuff was fantastic. This guy had me cracking up laughing. Again, great visuals of just seeing him. The memes out there of King Shark all over the place, a la Daniel Bryan being in the middle of every blank versus blank stuff a few months ago leading to WrestleMania is great. I just overall, I really like the casting, the return.
By the way, Weasel was Sean Gunn.
That's all. But you know what? Good, free.
Polka Dot Man was perfectly cast, and whoever they got to play his fucking mother. Oh my God.
Typical mother. Just great. Double D playing Polka Dog Man.
Loved it.
From the Batman franchise as well. I'm never going to say his name right, so I'm not going to try. But yeah, you're right. That was great, as well as...
Colonel Rick Flag? I didn't like that casting.
No, see, I love him
as the detachable kid I loved.
That was funny. Dude, this dude, Joel Kinnaman, I believe, from... oh my God, what was the show that I loved? From Seattle. I basically said that's what Mare of Easttown was like.
The Killing.
He looks like a different... This dude has gotten so swole. It's like you in high school to you today. It is unbelievable the work, the transition the man has put in. So yeah, don't be afraid to flex it. But yeah, I liked him a lot. And again, obviously it's all spoilers. But like, his death scene got me. How did it happen?
It did. And I love the Fast and the Furious-esque, like, going into the heart. It was so out of place. It didn't happen at any other time. It's like when you go inside the engine in Fast and the Furious 1, it's the worst like CGI of all time. I'm like, why? Like, he's stabbing him in the left side of the chest. He's not Dr. Spaceman from 30 Rock where he doesn't know where the heart is located. Like, he killed him. We got it.
Yeah, dude, I feel you there. So then let's go to our next category here, Bill. Speak and spell, the acting and writing. We kind of touched a little bit on it here, but thoughts on the acting and writing.
All right, my question I'm going to pose to you right now is, John Cena a good actor?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes, because he was enjoyable and he accomplished what he set out to do. But his acting, I don't know, like, he's just never been cast in a deeper role yet. Like, he was perfect for this. I think even better than Batista would have been. And I think Batista is a better actor, but like, I want to see him like in something besides The Marine that's a little serious.
Well, sure. I think that might not be what he'd be best used for. He's kind of a comedy actor. I like this character. I'm excited we're getting a movie or a TV
show. No. A TV show produced almost exclusively by James Gunn.
So,
and written most of the episodes.
Yeah, so here's why I think...
I think he directed all of them.
I believe so. So the reason... And first of all, and obviously his death, the non-death. Like, I was like, wait, is there a show about this guy? Then obviously they played that off a little weird. Little.
I liked it though, because...
Just how about you don't kill him?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I hate like... the fake killing of characters. Yeah. And they did knock off enough in this for me to make it meaningful, but I would have liked one more main character death. I know that sounds gruesome.
Well, he got a lot in the beginning. I think that's what the point of the beginning of the movie was. We're going to wipe out a bunch of stars.
But they were useless, though.
I know, but we didn't know that going in.
Yeah, you kind of did because you knew what the movie was really about. You knew it wasn't about those guys.
You didn't see them. You didn't see them on the poster. No, I will give credit, though. Shout out to the guns, Billy, Bart, James, Joseph, Steven, all of them. Because basically that opening scene was just like, hey, I like all these guys. We're going to give them a payday.
Yeah.
Like he worked with almost all those guys in the past, and there he goes. But to answer your Cena question, I think it is fascinating. Like, I think he is a good actor because I've now watched enough of him from the short little scenes and movies to that Blockers movie where that was, I was like, I don't know.
He was actually really good in that.
I
don't care what anybody says. I love that fucking movie.
No, that movie's rough. But
his kid was phenomenal. She'll be a superstar, hopefully.
She was really good. I agree with you there. Who will be a bigger star, her or the girl from the Tammy Crafts?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough because Tammy Crafts girl was so good, but it was a small scene. That was also a small scene. The Blockers girl was good the whole time.
All right.
I'll give it the Blockers girl.
Okay. I'll take Tammy Crafts. I'll see you in 10 years. So, in this movie specifically, he had so much range of motion and I saw things change. Mm-hmm. Like he was kind of like the sidekick. Then he became kind of the guy, that whole scene where they ravage the what we kind of find out to be heroes and faces.
Oh my god, that
seems unreal when they finally show up. Like we wiped out the village. Like they're all peacemakers or whatever they called it. I'm like, oh, that's great. That's great.
And I think that's what makes ultimately a memorable movie is scenes you can watch individually that stand by themselves. And when they're having the kill off, I mean, Cena just with the hatchet, just
Oh, when the guy's sleeping? Yeah, he cuts him up like Salt Bay. I was just waiting for him to sprinkle. But I think that's what I noticed from Cena. And Cena turned heel in this movie. So, people have been clamoring for the Cena heel turn.
I mean, he was a villain anyways, but he double turned heel. Like, he went full baddie.
Yeah, full baddie. He went, I guess technically the Suicide Squad were heels that went gray. Mm-hmm. And then you had to choose. And they all kind of went face. Cena went back heel. But I really liked him in this movie. I just thought, I think maybe it's the writing that James Gunn, maybe it's that type of, director and writers that can really benefit him to start his career. Like, go back to early Rock movies. I know people are going to maybe roll their eyes at this, but The Rock was pretty bad. Those first few films were, like, not that good. And, like,
I mean, he has become – he's learned how to kind of be his role. And basically, he's Schwarzenegger. He's Sylvester Stallone. He's not going to be, turning into friggin' – Adam Sandler, who had turned into actually a good actor. But I think, he does his job and I don't even think I want to see him in more roles. I think like this is kind of his Cena.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him in like the comedy because he has some new comedy coming out on Hulu called Vacation Friends or something like that. That looks good. But he's good in comedies. And I think these satire action movies are going to be his bread and butter. Bill, what about Hit My Music? How did you feel about the music used in The Suicide Squad?
It was good because it was used heavily and it was used very well, but it wasn't to the level of Guardians. It wasn't, that's one of the main takeaways for me from the Guardians of the Galaxy movie is the soundtrack, because those were a little more, I believe the word, it's diegetic to the plot. Like they kind of worked, like not literally like the dialogue was worked in, but there were scenes based solely on, Star-Lord putting the headphones onto Gamora, whereas this one it was kind of just like setting the scene or setting the tone, and I thought it did it really, really well.
Yeah, I liked, obviously we got some Johnny Cash to start us all off with Folsom Prison Blues. I was doing a lot of Shazamming throughout this movie, Bill, because they were pulling out songs I wasn't very familiar with. The Fratellis, they use that band.
Oh, I fucking love that song.
Yeah, they didn't use that song. They had K-Flay, who was kind of a flavor of the week a few years ago in the alternative scene. You got the Pixies with a song called Hey, that was towards the end when good things were happening once they kind of defeated the giant Starro, which seemed like it came right out of Birdo from Mario 2. Instead of spitting out eggs, they were spitting out smaller versions of themselves, which is very strange. But yeah, I thought I liked the music. It didn't overpower anything. It also didn't make you relate the song to the film, which it's a balance, right? And they used a lot of like B-side or not as popular songs from very popular bands. Like there was another one in there too. I have to look here on my Shazam. Kansas, the band Kansas was also
So I thought the score when they had scoring was pretty good too.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you there as well. Too new, I didn't watch enough to act it out. So we'll go to Legacy Bill. What do you think was the most memorable thing from the Suicide Squad?
For me, it's the Harley Quinn fight scene. Immediately walking out, I was like, I'm going to rewatch that. I loved it. I think King Shark's introduction to the world is second because he was fucking great. And I got to tell you, like Harley Quinn animated show, there's so many people who stick out and he's just like Bane in that one is hilarious. But I think this captures a little bit more of what that show does. And that's kind of what I want DC to be. And I think the Suicide Squad could be a good launching point for them to kind of, because they just got stuck in the, okay, these Batman movies are so serious, so dark. That's what superhero movies need to be. This was like, from the get-go, this was so colorful. It was so bright. It was so animated. Like the way they got you into the movie was great. They killed off that quick cast. There was just so many quick moments.
Yeah.
But I think it's, to me, it's the Harley Quinn scene stands out to me.
Yeah, I'm going to, there's two things. Obviously, scene-wise, I think it's the opening scene. I just think it was so eye-catching. It was so ridiculous. They go in there. They just get absolutely annihilated. The whole Weasel thing was hilarious and good tie-in at the end.
Anybody check if Weasel could swim?
Yeah. He's just drowning. And again, shows heart. Then the guy who with the longer hair, also from Guardians, he comes down and saves him. Also Merle from The Walking Dead. The opening scene just gripped me so much. I've watched that part a few times over. Obviously, it's the beginning of the film, so it's easiest. And I know this is maybe a strange because it's not a scene, but like I talked about earlier, just like the way they did the chapter reveals of the movie, like in part, in context of the film, just like in a cloud or hazing over thing. I really like that. That stood out to me throughout the whole film.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people think you shouldn't do the 3 hours earlier or 5 days before. I don't mind it if it's done right, and this was done right. I think people think it's a cheap way to do storytelling, but if you can pull it off,
yeah,
you should pull it off.
I liked it all but the end part when Idris Elba's character falls like 50 stories and crash, 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 lands there with Peacemaker, the double shot, the smaller bullet to the bigger bullet because he has bullets that eat your bullets, basically. It's like a chunky. And I thought that was a nice touch. But that scene, I was like, that's a little bit much. Like, I just don't like it when people have a gun to somebody, Bill, and they hesitate even for 13 seconds. If you're going to kill, like if he's going to kill Ratcatcher 2.
Yeah, but he's killing Ratcatcher 2.
Waller was going to give him freedom. He was going to be fine to free forever, but no, he had to hesitate. All based on the story. The whole plot of this movie was kind of bizarre, but basically just the fact that they were trying to blame America for all the issues that were going on. I even forget where they were, but basically, and then like this whole Star-Lord thing, I still don't really, I had to watch a movie twice to really understand what the hell that was, why that was.
Oh, that like the star thing,
Starro or whatever it was called.
Starro, like, yeah. I mean,
ridiculous.
I didn't love the villain necessarily, but it was kind of a side note. It was just pretty much a Band of Brothers type of movie, which I liked. And the villain was secondary. It was just the mission they had to accomplish. I kind of liked how Bloodsport went back to kind of finish him off. And obviously, you're probably not going to kill Harley Quinn just yet. She has some legs left in her. Right. The Polka Dot Man stuff, I did love though.
All of
the stuff. And I think the other moment, like the funniest moment of the entire movie, is not any of the mom stuff except when he's on the dance floor. To me,
oh my god,
that one, I was chuckling. I was LOLing.
It was just that whole story is really good. I was sad to kind of see him go. The Starro thing was weird, but also like the visuals of just Harley Quinn going through the eye and the rats being like the big thing and the whole story with the rats too, with Bloodsport, where he's just like, he's like, oh, my dad trapped me in a cage and there was all rats in there. Like how that all tied in the little rat pad at the end. Again, the moment there was a lot of like, just laugh out loud stuff where you shouldn't have laughed out loud, but like it was just the whole end sequence I thought was really funny. Again, the real, in the other, like we didn't even talk about like all the people back in what I called the Cabin of the Woods headquarters there, that like with Amanda Waller.
Placing bets, even just like Cabin of the Woods.
Yeah, it was, dude, I'm telling you, I was like, this movie, that's taken right out. They're like, yeah, we like that, take that. But what I loved about that was when Waller was going to just kill them all for going back to save basically this country or this city. And then the woman just comes and cracks her over the head with, I don't even know what that was, like a pool stick.
It looked like a golf club because I think she was putting.
There you go, golf club. And then she's just like, what are you all looking at? Get back to where it was just like so like quick, funny. Like this is like old school comedy stuff that like made me laugh. And the guy who was there in that was everybody in that whole scene in that office was great. And again, we didn't really see the repercussions of what happens there, but it, that was really good.
I mean, that girl's probably dead, but I mean, it was really cool. I liked it. And she's like, oh, I made you a leader anyways. And
yes,
there's a lot of standout moments from this movie. The only reason you can't give it like full rock hard is because Guardians happened and it was a little bit better. And it's the same kind of movie.
So, Bill, this is hard to answer because we've never done a recent movie, the Then, Now, Forever. Will, did this movie stand the test of time? I guess it's more of a prediction. Do you think 10 years from now we're going to be talking or people are talking about the Suicide Squad?
Yeah, because I think it's the best DCEU movie so far.
I'm going to say no. No, I love Shazam. I'm not saying no to that. That's debatable. I like Shazam more. I think Shazam may be – it's a personal favorite. I'm also a huge Zach Levy fan. Mm-hmm. But I think 10 years from now, things are going to happen enough that this movie's just kind of there. It's a there.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a gut feeling. I don't know. It could be all the stuff that we still get from MCU, or maybe the MCU kind of jumps a shark with all these the Shang-Chi's and the Eternals, and who the hell knows where they're going. We got the new Spider-Man trailer, so they're doing multiverse thingamajigs. And some reason, can I say one weird thing about comic book people? Like, I'm a wrestling person. I'm not a comic book person. The stories that are being played out in film are in the books.
For the most part.
Yes, because they do tie things in. So I always laugh when people start to criticize, I can't believe this is what they're going to do or that's what they're going to do. But I'm like, can't we kind of figure out what's going to happen
balls, they do some different things. It's not always – I mean, we can ask our guys over on TLDR what they're doing. Books. Exactly. They do books.
But I just laugh when people like – I think I saw in our chat, but I saw people like – I was watching the Spider-Man trailer again, and a lot of people are like, the multiverse is opened up because of Peter Parker. That doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. The whole premise is science fiction. It's not real.
I kind of like when people take their take and put a different spin on it. And I think, I don't know if Keith was talking about it with us on that weird thing that we did, which was great.
The follow along.
We should do one of those or something. But
we need a lot more than that.
Yeah, I want like a spin on something. I don't want just the same story to play out. And this was a little bit different. And, you know, the Spider-Man Rogue Gallery might not be the Sinister Six that it was in whatever. But like, do you want the same thing? Don't you want different?
I don't know. Me, yes. I don't know what the better audience says, though. So anyways, but back to this. I think this movie will just be a movie, not a standout movie again 10 years from now. Bill, the pull apart. Anything else you want to mention about the Suicide Squad?
Oh, I mean, there were so many scenes that were like really, 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 really good.
I like the rat pet at the end. I don't know why. It just
a little high five.
It just Billy got me. There was two really emotional things: Ratcatcher number two, and like the way she kind of turns everybody to go back and like fight for this city, whatever. And I thought that was great. And just the little high five, the pat with the rat at the end. There's just simple stuff, and the weasel at the end coming back to life. And
that was fucking hilarious.
That's a money roll. That's gonna be toys are gonna be sold. You're gonna be seeing it talked about with a lot of people. I think it's
the best weasel since what is it, Pauly Shore?
Oh God, yes.
But no, even like every little thing they did to add comedy, where they're like walking through the prison, like we selected, you know, everyone for a different set of specific skills. And he walks up to Cena's character and it's like the exact same set of skills. He's like, you fucking with me here? Like, what's going on? It's the same thing I bring to the table. Great. So I really like that. I thought like there was no, besides the mother on the dance floor, laugh out loud moments. But I thought everything had a nice touch. I just feel like it was missing something to be Guardians. It just wasn't, you didn't care about every character. Were in Guardians, they kind of made you care about, you cared about Groot, you cared about Rocket, you cared everyone, every single person you were emotionally invested in, even like the townspeople of where they were fucking, you know, gonna blow up. This was just a little bit disconnected, but I don't think you could connect it all because it was just a different movie. Like some of the characters were already established. It was just a little bit different, but enjoyable nonetheless.
Agreed. I just, I like I said, maybe a little long as well, but I felt the movie was really, really enjoyable. So now, Bill, we got to give it. We said Metacritic, that's 74. The 92 Google users like it, 7.4 out of IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes, 91 and 82, respectively. But most importantly, Bill, what did the Pop Culture Pile Driver rate it? 1 out of 11. Bill, you say?
That's tough. I'm going to give it an 8.7.
Okay, 8.7.
Get the calculator out.
I'm going to have to. I came into this with like a 7.5, but when I rewatched the first watch it again, I landed on an 8.5 out of 11.
Oh,
so
that's easy. 8.6.
There you go. 8.6 says, I hate you. 8.5 out of 11. So an 8.6. says the Pop Culture Pile Driver boys. Let us know your thoughts. If you'll listen, you can tweet at BillyD24, the word 11. You can IG him at the old one. I'm at
JT. Our boy Smash Lana in the chat was like very underwhelmed.
By this, when I first read that earlier, it said, I just thought he said,
I thought it was Suicide Squad.
Me too. So he says the Suicide Squad. First off, shout out to Smash Lana, no longer part of really the DK Sim fam, but. There he is. Oh, our guy Kevin jumps in, says an 8.1. What is with these random numbers? But I understand that. Like we're all basically saying the same thing. If you're anywhere,
it's very good.
It's above average.
Yeah,
it's above average. Yeah, below great, and not like it's no Tommy Boy. You know, it's not the best movie of all time. Which I still lose a little bit of sleep at night. I did it, Bill. I stand by it. I stand by it. But I'm still a little uncomfortable by myself.
Who is it? Yeah,
by me or by themselves?
Anyone.
There you go. As Kevin says, one vote. Everyone knows the rules. But yeah, so that's the Suicide Squad. Again, we liked it a lot. We had mostly split from the people in the chat. Well, again, you guys can tweet at PopCulturePD. Let us know what you think out of the 11 score. I believe Dork gave it a really high score out of their 6. I think they were like a 5.5. I'm not mistaken. And I think Mac and Goo also liked it a little bit more than we did. I don't remember.
They gave it a lot of dogs. It was like 37 to 38 for both of them. I can check the dorks.
That's out of 40, dude. That's a lot. That's really
high. 5.5. That's kind of close on our scale, though. Like they're a
5.5 out of 6. You know? I think, wouldn't that be like a 9.5 out of 11? Wouldn't it be a little bit higher? Either way, we're all relatively in the same area. And I don't know what the exit survey said. I listened to some of it, but I stopped because I didn't know if we were doing this pod, I started to listen to other people's reviews, but I tried not to let it reflect my thoughts. But you can check out, Change My Mind, Dork, Mac and Goo all reviewed this movie as well the past few weeks. Billy Boy, lots to do in the world of our minds. But I will tell you this, Bill, a couple quick ones. Music related. Charlie Watts, drummer of the Rolling Stones. R.I.P.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's dead. I saw this great meme. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but he said, this is great. There's a story where he was asleep. Mick Jagger got a call. Mick Jagger was drunk, said something to the degree of like, I don't know where my drummer is. Charlie Watts gets dressed, gets ready, goes, punches Mick Jagger, and tells him, don't you ever effing call me your drummer. You're my effing singer.
Ooh,
gotta love drummers. Drummers got a lot of pizzazz. You want that.
You have to, though. You have to have that kind of only one mentality. I mean, Travis Barker is dating a Kardashian right now. He's living the life. It's one of those things.
Wait, Travis Barker is?
Yeah.
Dating a Kardashian?
Courtney, get on your social game here.
This is not my wheelhouse, but good for him, them. I love Bert.
Courtney's right now, I mean, after all the stuff Kim's done to herself, at one point I would have put Kim Kardashian in like the top 5 hottest people who've ever lived.
Oh, there was a lot. If you go back to WrestleMania 27, she was like one of the, remember the announcers come out? It was like top notch of all time. You're right.
There's a picture of her courtside at a Lakers game when she maybe first started like dating Kanye. At that point, she was the hottest person in the world.
Now, poor her. She's dropping on our list.
Yeah, she's still fine.
Oh, of course. She's still
fine.
Yes. The end of ICP, Bill, has finally come. I don't know if you saw the news.
Oh, what happened to all the Juggalos?
So the Juggalos are still going to be there, but due to some family health issues, but I believe Shaggy 2 Dope, former WWF and WCW competitors, huge ECW as well. They've basically been everywhere. Mm-hmm. But there's health concerns in their family, so they're actually calling it quits. Do I think this is a forever thing? No. But they did make a public announcement. No gathering of the Juggalos, I believe, next year in 2022. So a lot of big changes for that. And it's easy to make fun of that group of people.
I know a lot of Juggalos.
I'm sure you do. But I love the sense of community that like an ICP brought for that audience. Like
wrestling.
Absolutely. I agree with that to a larger extent. It's just like brings a lot of people together that might potentially be like social outcasts, or if they don't find people like that, they're going to feel alienated. So appreciate ICP, but yes, they are no more. Bill, some new music dropped this week. What do you think of Lord? Where are you on Lord?
Lord. I like her. More of them, I should say, right?
No, it's a her.
But they're a group, right?
No, it's just her.
Really?
Yeah.
She mentions a lot of we in her music. But either way, I like a lot of her songs.
She speaks for her community. I'm a pretty big Lord fan. She put a new album called Solar Power. The album cover, Bill, do me a favor while I know we're in audio format. Just give it a Google. You got a nice little bum cheeks there. I don't really understand it. She never came across as a very like sexual person. Just Lord, Solar Power, album cover. And you'll see some cheeks. Very strange. Very chill. It's a great album to chill out to. She said that she thought this was going to be a heroin album. Not like she literally thought by
like
drug.
Females.
No, no. She thought it'd be like a druggy album, but it was more of a weed album. Her own review of her own album. It's very chill, very laid back. Good listen. If you need, you know, when you're working tomorrow, if you're finally home, maybe just pop on Solar Power by Lord. It's a good album. Also, Bill, have you heard the new Cardi B and Lizzo song called Rumor?
I like it a lot, actually.
I thought I was going to hate this because Cardi B's, I think, a little bit much.
But I like her.
Cardi B found her flow. I know that may sound dumb from a guy who's not like a rap connoisseur, but like if you listen to Cardi B like 3-4 years ago,
it's kind of,
yeah, it was very aggressive. Like it's almost like she was just punching really hard. Now her flow ever like up, which is maybe the dirtiest song of all time. But this song here moves real well. Lizzo, I think, is undefeated. She tells us how she did not have sex with Drake, which I guess was a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is Kevin saying he thought that ICP died in 2004.
I mean, their music might have for the mainstream culture, maybe even like 2002. But I mean, I know a lot of people who go to the Gathering of the Juggalos and they say it's probably one of the best things you can do. I can only imagine.
I know
a few people like who were really young who had to take their parents with them and like the parents went wild. So yeah, like ask your friends who were Juggalos about the Gathering of the Juggalos. But yeah, I was a big fan of that song. Like I liked Lizzo. I liked Cardi B. And Cardi B, I think I agree. She's found her flow. I think she's a decent, like a pretty decent rapper.
Yeah.
To very good at some points. I think Nicki Minaj, if she doesn't have ghost writers, which everyone says she does, is excellent. And I think her flow is like top notch.
I agree. So yeah, check out Rumors, just dropped by those two. That's kind of like the biggest song in the world. Why bring it up? Speaking about Cardi B, speaking about the song Up, Bill, that was the theme to SummerSlam 2021 that we should have been at, Bill. Should have been in Vegas. Instead, you were.
And when I tell you, the people that I follow on Instagram, some people that are fairly attractive.
Oh, Bill, you were sending me some photos of some gulping women. They would have gulped you like pig hogs.
My God, the amount of people that were in Vegas this week where I should have been. And maybe nothing will be holding me back soon to not go to Vegas. But I will say, whoa. Out of any week to be in Vegas, God damn it. This was the freaking week.
Bill, it was...
This was it!
Yeah, SummerSlam... SummerSlam was still a pretty good show. It wasn't a great show.
Really,
was fun.
I had good things.
I had some mixed thoughts. They built the card away. That was very interesting. The end of... Edge's entrance was one of the best of all time. I'm telling you, watch Edge's entrance. Go on to your Peacock or my Peacock or whoever's cock and watch Edge's entrance, Bill. It was one of...
Right?
It started Brood, bumped into his theme.
On this day?
His adrenaline, everything. That match, him and Rollins were incredible. Every criticism you've ever had of Seth Rollins, Edge pulled whatever anger you've had towards him out. I think he sold like a... Well, he's always been, I think, a good seller. Yeah. But he continued to sell. He went hard. I bought into this match like no other, almost of the weekend.
I got to tell you, probably only you in the world can relate to this. Is I showed my Spotify last 6 months top played list, and they all laughed at me like I was playing Moon River Rock, because in my top 10 was WWE as like an artist.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? I'm an Amazon Music guy, and it's my recents are either Wiggles, some with Sesame Street, Elmo, Bluey, or wrestling. Because my family takes over this because we share the.
A lot of people got flack in the chat about in our Madden chat about having like, what the fuck is that? It's like, I have kids. Come on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you have to. That's a pass. That's a quick pass. Actually, speaking about that, Bill, Madden 22 out. I saw you if you dived in.
You know what happened? I got the 10-hour pre-release because I knew I was going away for almost a week.
Yeah.
And then when it actually dropped was the night I left. So I am so far behind on scouting. It's going to like – I have some work to do after this podcast. And then I'll probably stay up to like 4 in the morning trying to make trades for when we start the league.
Is your league transferring to Madden 22?
Oh, yeah.
And is it a refresh?
Oh, yeah.
New draft teams.
Yeah, well, one kid had a spot above me who wanted the Ravens, but he's like, I can't take the Ravens from me. And I respect that.
I would have shoved it right up your butt and taken them. Yeah. I'm very intrigued. I'm intrigued because I know this game, there's been already some ebbs and flows, but that Madden be Madden, baby. But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I might come back into the game. Also, Bill, the biggest news in the world, let's not pretend. CM Punk returned to wrestling. Did you see this return?
It was electric. I got chills showing people in an Uber who give it one no shits about professional wrestling. And even they were like, really, for this guy? I'm like, yeah, for this guy. And it was a week of wrestling returns in general. Brock Lesnar came back with the ponytail. Looked ridiculous, but...
I like CM it, though. Punk, he needed something. He needed something.
CM Punk kept both of us in wrestling, I think, for a little while. I think he is one of the best on the mic of all time, one of the better wrestlers in the last... 20 years, has the worst elbow drop I've ever seen. Other than that, and his finishing move, he's a great wrestler.
Yeah, his return was incredible. It was so encapsulating. There's obviously criticisms now that you watch. I watched that over and over. I've probably seen it 17 times because I just needed to, like, it still feels a little surreal. Like, we waited and waited and you've wanted, and he hit, I think, all the right notes. Him kind of diminishing everything WWE was a little bit much, but he didn't use their name. I just think, like, his name value is bigger because of that company. Like, I get the lot of criticism, and I'm sure it was really hard. You've heard all the stories. Paul Heyman's talked about it. CM Punk clearly has talked about it.
He's the biggest baby who's ever lived in wrestling, and Bret Hart has lived in wrestling.
Two of my favorites of all time. Something weird going on here, but maybe I'm the biggest baby as well. But I will just say that I'm very, very excited to see where this goes, and it's very interesting. One other thing, Bill, and I'm breaking some news here, and the only reason I'm doing it here is because I don't know how many people are actually going to hear it, because I don't know if I'm ready to start being this guy. I have a little bit of inside now with WWE. I was told on Sunday at about – Saturday, I'm sorry, because SummerSlam was on Saturday, about, let's say – maybe 8:30 Eastern. So we're getting closer to the, about a half hour into the card. John Cena was scheduled to win the WWE Championship for the 17th time.
I believe it.
And they changed it at the end. Now, there's two ways you can go here. If I'm Dave Meltzer, Sean Ross Sapp, one of the like guys that report, they probably wouldn't say what I'm about to say. But my guess is they also put out faulty things backstage because they know that people are reporting things out. But I did hear, and I don't have visual evidence, but that, hey, Cena's going for 17 tonight. And that clearly would have been, in my opinion, a reaction to CM Punk, because that would have stole all the ESPN headlines. Like, ESPN had a push notification, CM Punk returns to AEW. Nothing from SummerSlam had a push notification. So I just think that they didn't end up pulling the trigger. They did pull the trigger, Bill, in that awesome Cena shirt that looks like Super Mario 3.
Fantastic. I'm getting one.
Dude, no, you're not, and neither am I. They're not sold individually. It's part of an NFT $1,000 package. Yeah, I don't like it. It was, you got to look it up. So John Cena put out an amazing Super Mario Brothers 3 like T-shirt that says John Cena and him characterized. And I looked it up. I'm like, what is this? Where is it? I couldn't find it. There's an NFT package, which I'm out on NFTs, if anybody cared. And yeah, it's basically a part of this, like, you get like five pieces of apparel, an NFT, and something for $1,000.
Yeah. No.
That's a complete
I'll Photoshop it and I'll make them.
I was just going to say, let's put it on TeePublic, order them quick, and then get them out. but yeah, I found that very fascinating that John Cena was going to win. Also, another story out there. Again, I'm going to say this here because not a lot of people are going to hear it necessarily. Sasha Banks tested positive for COVID-19. Not a part of SummerSlam. Not someone that, you know, they knew that wasn't going to happen, but they brought Becky Lynch back in a very bad spot, and we'll see where that all goes.
Yeah, I mean, her taking the title off of Bianca, I didn't see it. I heard it was a squash. I don't like that.
Nope. Nothing about that made either one look good. There's reports that Becky's going to be a heel, but even still, not good.
No, I mean, and they killed the best babyface champion. I haven't seen any babyface champion in the last 2 years, but Kofi was so good, and they squashed him in a way that was so disrespectful to his title run. And this seems similar, and I'm like, what the fuck are we doing?
So basically, and we can have this conversation, but like, it's not like, it's just a bad look in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah,
ridiculous. Baby face, let's just be honest, black champions that have major wins at WrestleMania, some of the best moments. Sasha and Bianca Belair both, you know, they said it on that broadcast, the first two women to headline a WrestleMania. Yes, it was night one, night two, and the two only black women to do so.
Or men or woman.
True, good point. But I'm just saying, this is what the commentating said, if you got to listen back. And then they both get weird endings. And the thing, Bianca's going to be, I still think will be fine. Like, I think this is going to be a story still, where Kofi was legit gone.
Gone.
He lost that match, and then they brought Cain Velasquez out after in an embarrassing move. And he's never really, he recently went for the title like last month against Bobby Lashley, but that was 2 years in between. Like, that type of storytelling is not it. Like, I want to see that rise back. Like, that's what people, when you're going to squash the champion, you need the return.
I just don't get it. Like, give him the 1-2, 2.5. And then have a good 5-10.
Yeah, doesn't have to be long.
Just have a match where he like gives it an all, but it's like, oh, he can't do it. So just squash both of these people out. It's just disrespectful to what you established. I don't get it.
To your fans. It's your fans that get slapped in the face. This is ties back into the Suicide Squad, to what's happening for the MCU. Like, fans have some expectation. These movies, maybe not DC, but like, now they're getting back on their feet, it looks, but like, they don't blatantly do things to be like, yeah, let's just screw it. This is what I want. Like, they know they have to please a paying audience. And WWE just very odd at times. And like, you want to trust the system, but the system has showed us many times it ain't working.
And it's just so against old school wrestling, where the heel would cheat or the heel would have to do something dastardly. But the heel coming out and just being a dominant monster, weird.
Yeah, and the other part of it that's like, without the return, right? Without somebody getting their comeback to it. Even if they never win, like, I never care if Kofi got 5 rematches and never beat Brock. It would have still made more sense than to never be back again. But nonetheless, that's our podcast. That is...
Whoa. That was all you. I got one more thing real quick. Do you have to go?
I'm so sorry. No, I don't have to go. I just heard some banging. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw you give a weird look. Kanye.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Some news. Well, you may not hear of him as Kanye for long. He officially filed to change his name to just Ye. Y-E. Genius.
Why do people do that?
Genius. He's a genius.
Genius? Why is that genius?
No, that move isn't genius. In general, he is a genius.
Okay.
I've been listening to Jesus is King recently. Great album. I didn't give it enough credit the first time around. It's a gospel album, but he raps. I think his most popular Chick-fil-A song stinks. Everything else, pretty good on the album.
Quick question. He sings about Chick-fil-A?
What is it? Closed on Sundays. You my Chick-fil-A or something like that.
Like that. Also, Chick-fil-A, still never had it. Worth it?
The spicy chicken sandwich. But the key is you got to get the sauce on the side. The Chick-fil-A sauce. Dump it on there. Get 2 fries because they always skip out the fries. I don't know what it is. Get 2 fries. Go tomorrow. Woburn.
I know exactly where it is. Maybe I'm going to pass on the fries. Boys watching his cows, but the right, chicken.
Get 2 chicken sandwiches.
2 chicken.
Dump the thing on there. It's not my top chicken sandwich, but it's like top 3.
Where? What is your number 1 spicy chick?
Oh, it's Popeyes with a bullet. So good.
Never had that either. Okay. Intrigued.
So go get both of them tomorrow. Be a fat guy.
Yeah.
Get back to your roots.
Hi, Cal.
Yeah. Hi, Cal. But, and also when you, this is the best thing about Chick-fil-A. You drive into the drive-thru, million cars out in 5 minutes, maybe 4. They just have it down to a science.
Turn and burn.
There's like 6 people, all you know, God-fearing people that just take your order.
Big ups to Jesus. Big ups to Jesus.
Yeah, big ups to Jesus. Boom, boom, boom. But so me and Wes of the Change My Mind podcast, I want to have like a live listening party or something with him for the release of Donda, which could drop at any moment.
I was going to say, isn't it like pending? It could happen right now.
So the release date is August 2021, which I kind of love because he's hyping it up. I've seen two of his listen parties where he's like floating from the air, wearing like a spiky vest, like he's like a BDSM guy. It's weird, but I will say from what I've heard so far, I like it. It's a little gospel. It's a little old Kanye, a little new Kanye. It's got everything.
Okay.
Kanye might overtake Jack White at some point in my life as my favorite artist.
Okay.
We're getting to that point because I listen to so much Kanye, but I am excited, excited for whenever it does drop. It may never happen. And Wes of the Change My Mind pod shared a Kanye track listing of all the undelivered tracks of all time. I've just been like randomly hitting them from like different albums, like all of the albums ever.
Yeah.
And it's a great listen to just hear like unfinished work of an artist. It's kind of cool.
I'm intrigued, Bill. I'm intrigued. You should do that listening party. You should do right here on the Pop Culture Pile Driver. We got the YouTubes. We got to put more stuff on there. I think that's really where our bread and butter will be melted. But
What's your bread and butter?
What's my bread and butter?
Mm-hmm.
Talking wrestling.
Mine is bread and butter. Nothing else has ever entered the equation.
I want to hit you. I don't know why, but I just have the urge just to smack you. He is Billy D. Follow him at Billy D 2411, the full word over on Twitter, because he's the bad boy of Twitter, boys and girls. Got booted off that mothership, but he found his way back because all you got to do is make another username. By the way, you should definitely make a dummy account to post all your good content stuff and then just retweet from yourself. This is a cheat code. So I'm going to tell you this. Create another username. Call it Billy's Big Dong or whatever. Or maybe don't put Billy's.
That's the idea. Because I made a Kanye video, by the way, nobody liked or saw. It's on my Instagram and Twitter. I think it's one of the best things I've ever done. Go look at it.
So here's what you need to do. First of all, we'll all go check that out. Billy D 2411 on Instagram, yada, yada, yada. Slide in the DMs. Give him dates. Blow him. Yeah. So here's what I noticed, Bill. If you create an account, put just the content, like the video piece.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you know how like I could grab
a quote tweet.
Video? Yeah, it's not even quote tweet. No. Not even quote tweet. Just tweet video. Like do the
tweet
video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you never have – people don't even have to know about that account. It's just you quote tweeting it over. And if that gets banned, then you can make another dummy account. I'm telling you, this is the way for you to get through this. Even though you still are the baddest boy of the Twitter. Got nothing?
I thought you were going to play the This Week in DSG, but...
Oh, we're still doing that? Sorry. I'm off my game, Bill. Bill, you are the baddest boy of Twitter because you got kicked off. This Week in
Door. Shared Gooniverse.
Not a clue. I have no idea.
I made a damn sheet.
Oh, you did? Okay, let me
look. I sent it to you.
All right.
You made me hit that when you weren't even have any intention of saying.
Dave season two. Ooh, all right. Somebody watched fucking Dave. It was great. I'm gonna get you a Gata cameo. Yeah. Then we have Mac and
Goons. I saw Little Dicky like praising Gata, saying if like he's like the greatest thing that ever happened to him. I don't know anything about it, but I just saw that.
He really might be. He might be the greatest thing that ever happened on fucking cable television. Mac and Goo did the 1989 classic Aliens. CNC did Adam Sandler versus Will Ferrell. Quick thoughts. What do you think?
Oh, Adam Sandler. That's just heartstrings. group. But I'll tell you right now, I actually had an idea, and I didn't know they were doing this. This is a problem. I have to text you more about these things, because I just seem like a copycat. But one day I was like, we should rank like Adam Sandler movies.
We still can.
No, I know we can. We should talk more to these people because I think corresponding podcast thoughts, like we were trying to do 2 weeks ago, but that's on me, that's on you, that's on life. I kind of think it might mesh well. Like if they did Adam Sandler versus Will Ferrell, then we did like a ranking of all Adam Sandler movies. Anywho.
Shoulder programming, if you will.
Oh, I like that, Bill. I like shoulders. You doing shrugs? Anyways, what else we got? Who else did stuff?
Let me go back to the doc here. I clicked it to see your shiny face.
Books.
TLDR did books. I've heard it both ways. I forget what we're doing, but it's a psych episode.
You're in season
three.
We also
took a week off. What if they talked about what if? I don't know. I made the graphic. Hardest graphic literally I've ever made in my entire life. That thing sucked.
Well, thank you for doing it to them.
Shine time. It was just like to get all of those words to fit in a square box and make it look right. It was I mean, it probably took me an hour, but for me, that's a lot of time to make graphic. Shime Time, Arvon D, and Dr. Joe on the streaming channels, and I think that's all we got.
Yeah, I will say two things, Bill. Next week, due to CM Punk's – actually, before next week, we could probably bounce another one in this week. Mm-hmm. Basically, in the next two pods, we're going to do top 11 wrestling returns. The big debate – we were talking about this in the SimFam. A lot of people were putting debuts. I think debuts are different.
No, it doesn't count.
But I think if you're returning to wrestling, like what CM Punk did, I think counts. Okay. Because, like, Jericho coming to WWE, no.
Doesn't count.
AJ Styles, WWE. No,
doesn't.
I don't think. Okay, we'll talk about it. We'll both make our list. You can work on that after.
You have to return.
Okay, that's all I needed. That's
not debut. Well, CM Punk then.
I think that's a return though, because he hasn't been in wrestling, Bill, for 7+ years.
Ooh, so it's distance that makes the heart grow fonder. No, whereas AJ Styles just went from one company to another.
It was a 2 week. He was at Wrestle Kingdom 2 weeks before.
You know what? You know what? Yes. Okay. That's the rule. We don't have rules here, but that's our rule.
Yeah, if we did have rules, we'd abide by them. But when we do have rules, we do. Anywho, also we're going to be doing – we got to check this out. I've heard amazing things about Woodstock 99, like Love Something in Rage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's on Hulu. I think we got to do a little – like the music, that's kind of what we – I think our two of our main things, wrestling.
You worked in radio.
Thank you.
I don't know if anybody knows that.
I don't know why Davey always brings this up. Maybe Dave's a little jealous. I don't know.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if you have it in your holster and it's a good joke, and then you can be like, pull it out at the right time, and he did, yeah. And he got you. It's one of those.
Oh, listen, I'm never gonna get anybody. I'm always gonna be the one that gets got, and that's all right. You know why, Bill? I wear bulletproof vests. But on top of that, Bill, you know what else? And I really mess up timing. This should be off camera. This whole what if thing that I've talked about for 5.5 years, we finally figured out how we're gonna do it. SummerSlam just passes. And a show named What If comes out.
What If?
And I didn't say to myself, man, I should really push this to do it so that Billy has enough time to put it out the week of SummerSlam when it's the number one trend. Well, CM Punk was number one. And the show What If both equally trending over a time span. What a moron, but What If still has a few more weeks. Going to bang that out. We'll talk more about that. You'll see some stuff. We're going to do more. We're going to have some fun. We're going to make some mistakes. But check out Billy D again at BillyD24, the word 11 on Twitter, 11 the numbers on Insta. I'm at Jason D. Rossi. Hope you all enjoyed this. Please leave a 5-star review. Bill, any final words for the fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.